everybody. Welcome to Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time? I'm Duncan.
I'm Lex.
And this is the podcast where Lex and I take turns trying to blow each other's minds with our movie picks. The movies don't have to be obscure or totally unheard of. They could be super mainstream. The only prerequisite is that the other person has not seen it.
And this episode, it's Stay Hungry that I have not seen.
I am so pumped up to talk about this episode.
This is the only movie that has Arnold playing a fiddle. Arnold Schwarzenegger, that is. Holy smokes. This is going to be a lot to talk about. This is one that I don't know what I expected. I thought that it was in New York somehow, but I think I was conflating that with Hercules in New York. This is an early film with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jeff Bridges, and Sally Field. Now, what I immediately discovered is that this is nowhere near New York City. We are once again, Duncan, you have returned us to the South, my friend.
What is that? Why am I the guy always bringing us back to the South when you're the Southerner of this duo?
I don't know, maybe
I have a fascination with the South that you find pedestrian and you're bored with that I find still interesting.
Well, I guess what you forget is that you actually did spend a decent amount of time in the South, but I guess Florida is not considered the South.
South Florida is not considered the South. The more north you go in Florida, the more South you are, is what we like to say. Yes. But thanks for bringing up Florida, which is a part of my biography I like to leave aside. But yeah, no Stay fun. Hungry is yeah, a movie did. That I am quite fond of, obviously, because I picked it. This is a Bob Rafelson movie. Bob Rafelson, part of the new Hollywood wave, but sometimes a little bit forgotten about. The Sight and Sound poll years ago listed him as dead.
Great.
And for me, most famously, he directed Head, the Monkees movie, helped discover, really put together the Monkees, and I should say was also one of the three founders of the first Raybert, I believe Raybert Studios, which became BBS Productions. And under his reign with his two partners, you know, they made movies as amazing as one of my absolute favorites, Last Picture Show and Easy Rider. And Bob Rafelson was helming movies also made under that banner, like Five Easy Pieces and The King of Marvin Gardens. And to me, Five Easy Pieces is one of my favorites. I mean, that's well established as a
Duncan favorite, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say well established as a favorite. No, it's just a...
No, as a Duncan favorite, like vocal about it, I think since I first
Oh, sorry. Okay, I didn't mean to be annoying you with how much I like Five Easy Pieces. And there's a lot of DNA with Five Easy Pieces in Stay Hungry in terms of a little bit of history, tone, and cast.
There's a lot of DNA with Head too. This is surprisingly at times a romp in the trickle down from a 60s romp in a way. I have to tell you that seeing Rafelson's name was a red flag for me, whereas not the case for you. I was worried that it would be a certain type of movie, and I'll circle back to that.
Such an eclectic director that I'm surprised. I don't know that it would elicit an emotion one way or the other. It's not like he has a signature, at least to me.
I'll hold back at this point.
All right, you hold back. So I should just say, Rafelson, I think, is a real colorful character. Super tight BFFs with Nicholson in the 70s. Was looking for his next picture after King of Marvin Gardens. Took many trips to the South, hitchhiking around. He says he hitchhiked around the South three times for kicks. And that's not the kind of thing
that gets you killed, Duncan.
especially a young man like him from New York. But then came back home to LA and had gotten a novel from Charles Gaines, Stay Hungry.
this to me was the real revelation, and the real story for me. I knew the name Charles Gaines, but I could not place it. And then diving in to his history as a novelist and writer of articles and champion of bodybuilding was fascinating. He's quite the Southern raconteur, and it sounds like, you know, some of this stuff in Stay Hungry is loosely based on him a little bit.
I think so. I think the Jeff Bridges character, Jeff Bridges plays a fair-haired, living in a bubble kind of young Southern aristocrat in the New South of Birmingham, Alabama.
And he is very much
of a certain class. And he's very much based on Charles Gaines, who developed this obsession with bodybuilding.
Now, did you also see this tidbit about his biography that he is credited with inventing, I know it's one of your favorite games, paintball?
I did see that. And I do enjoy a good game of paintball.
Oh, I know you do. I thought it was interesting that, so it all spun out of a bet. Sort of a flex between two friends, Gaines and another guy in New York, like a Wall Street buddy, about, you know, who was sort of the better survivalist, like New York, living in the city versus living in the woods. And Gaines found a way to bring that sense of competition to the woods with a CO2 powered pistol, which is what a paint gun is, but they were originally created for marking trails and for marking lamb. So I just thought that was interesting that was the start of paintball. They were it was not combat, you know, or simulated combat based. It was just like practical use in the woods.
That is very interesting. A man of many talents. Kind of reminds me of the Todd Field Big League Chew lore that's circulating.
Oh yeah, what is that again?
Well, I think most of our listeners probably know. It's been if you're a tar it's head recent. Like me,
yeah,
you've
yeah.
heard it so many times. But he, Todd Field, who really is a real journeyman, had a hand in the inventing of Big League Chew. But I believe he did not make a dime out of it. Anywho. Yeah, so Raffleson got this novel, and I believe Charles Gaines, and you would probably know this better than I think he wrote Pumping Iron, the book, right? The nonfiction book, and then he might have co-directed the documentary
as well. And he's the narrator in that as well. And it's been a while since I've seen Pumping Iron. I've only seen it once, but I loved it at the time. It's, you know, a fascinating look into that world, and of course, the Machiavellian tactics that Schwarzenegger uses and piloted in his bodybuilding days to then take on to Hollywood and politics. You know, the other famous story is that he in Hollywood, when he had competition going with Stallone, when they were the top action guys, that he claimed to have really wanted to make Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, and Stallone snatched it out before he could do it and made the movie. But the truth was that Schwarzenegger had no interest in making that piece of crap.
Sylvester Stallone.
You put a machine gun on the back of a van?
And Estelle Getty.
I wanted it to be a surprise.
It is!
Stop.
Or My Mom Will Shoot!
By the way, girl, Joe is still single.
Officer, secure that megaphone!
And when did this all come out? During the Planet Hollywood days over some cheese fries?
When the reveal happened?
Yeah.
I'm sure he wanted to be there in person to see it and cackle.
Well, Raffleson gets the book, enjoys the book, decides this is going to be his next movie, does about 6 or 7 months worth of research in and out of the bodybuilding world, on tour with the bodybuilders, getting his hands dirty.
That seems
dirty.
Excessive.
Oh boy, someone has the knives out for Bob Raffleson. In my mind, he's just this iconoclast, this just larger than life knuckle sandwich given bad boy that I don't know. I like this guy. I like this guy.
All right.
And you know, he's going to cast Jeff Bridges, who he says he discovered in the making of, or in the casting of The Last Picture Show. And he is going to bring in Sally Fields for her first adult role. Really, she's done Gidget. She's done The Flying Nun. I think she had one part in one other movie, but this is her first real adult role, and it is adult.
Oh, I will tell you what. I did not expect that, and I don't think – let's just go ahead and reveal it. She shows her tush.
There is a tush shot.
But I mean, I don't think anything like that ever happened again. I think it was like, okay, here I'm going to do a non teeny bopper role. And now I've set the tone and that's it. Here I come big pictures.
Exactly. Call the lawyers, get the tush clause in there for movies.
Not
after
doing
this.
It again.
I'm not going to show this in Punchline. I'll tell you that. But the problem was he's got Fields, he's got Bridges, but who is going to play this bodybuilder? And I guess he met with Arnold early on because he's immersed in that bodybuilder world. Arnold says, you're going to cast me. He went through, months of casting, looking for the right person and ended up going back to Arnold and casting him. And he says, even at the time, now this sounds like BS. Even at the time, Arnold was like, I'm going to be governor of California.
And get out of here.
And I swear to you, it's on the DVD
no
commentary.
Way.
And Raffleson's like, yes, you are. He's like, even then, Arnold was like, going to be governor.
Okay.
And he was like, totally believe it. Makes perfect sense. Let's shoot this movie.
I will say that his charisma is apparent. He's just a presence. He owns the screen when he's on there in a way that, you know, these other bodybuilders in the movie certainly don't. I was definitely puzzled as to why. I mean, I was puzzled about a lot of why this story was the way it was, why you would want to cast somebody with that big of a dramatic role who, would find it that challenging. But since it's based on a book, since it's based on Gaines's true story, that helps me understand it in retrospect.
Well, Bob Rafelson doesn't play by the rules. I think that's something we're going to return to over and over again. So let's talk about what this movie is. And it really is hard to define and put in a box. It's certainly the lightest of the Rafelson movies. Not that it doesn't have some dark moments, but there is a lot of fun to be had in this movie that ostensibly is about, or at least starts with, the Jeff Bridges character who plays this younger wealthy man who's now an orphan. His parents, I believe, died in a plane accident. We find out in a voiceover letter narration from his uncle to Jeff while we see Jeff.
My dearest Jeff. That's what I was like, oh boy, why does it have like a Ken Burns Civil War narration happening? Right. Literally, he says, like, my dearest, what's the name of the character? Do you remember?
I believe it's, is it Charles as well?
It is Craig. My dearest Craig, it has been nigh on 2 weeks since I have seen you last.
My dear Craig, it has been 5 months since your father and my beloved sister died. Surely there is no time limit on grief and sorrow. Is this the time to divorce yourself from family? To take up with unsavory strangers?
That was strange. I didn't know if it was tongue-in-cheek, but it turns out it is not.
It did not. Although, oddly enough, that the actor who played that uncle character shows up later in the film, and he does not seem to be
not much fanfare.
The same character who is narrating those letters. He seems much more in step with the film, which is a much more contemporary view of the South. So I would agree it doesn't have the greatest starts in terms of what the tone of this film is with this narration.
And then we do have to sort of crack what the scenario is with Jeff Bridges, Craig, what he's involved with, because then we cut to what is seems to be like a Dixie Mafia Cannonball Run situation, as the like a bunch of guys on CBs like race through downtown Birmingham and yuck it up and go to their office building, where they're essentially talking about shaking down local business owners to buy their property. I mean, that's the rough take, at least at that point in the movie. That's about as much as I could figure out.
Yes, you've got Jeff Bridges and one of his kind of fratty upper crust friends have thrown in their lot and gotten involved financially with some unsavory Southern real estate characters, led by Jabbo, played by Joe Spinelli.
Yeah.
Who is he from? Absolutely adore. He's from The Godfather and from one of the great New York sleazoid horror films of all time that I'm having a...
Maniac. Yeah, that's what I thought. I couldn't figure it out, but I was like, this guy is a B-movie gem, but I couldn't remember what.
He is so fantastic in Maniac, a movie where he is couldn't be creepier. And then halfway through the movie, I'm actually rooting for him to have a romantic relationship with this like upscale model. It's an amazing sleight of hand for that movie that I really adore. So Joe Spinelli is very chummy with Bob Rafelson. They road tripped to the South together. A lot of people said Bob Joe Spinelli as like a as kind of the Southern bad boy, and he's great, but he is different kind of oddball casting. And the idea that Rafelson had was, this isn't a story about the traditional South. This is the new South. Like Birmingham didn't even exist before the Civil War. That's what the novel's about. So he didn't want to have the usual type Southern characters in here. And I like that. I like that too. Really fun in this role.
I do like that we are – that was kind of the first big thing that I jotted down, is that this feels like a complete and true world. I feel like I'm injected into a scene and that it is authentic.
Agreed. And from this meeting he has with these somewhat sleazy Southern characters who lay down the law in terms of part of this financial agreement they have, they need the rights to this new downtown gym. And they send Jim and Spa, and they send Jeff Bridges down there to kind of feel out the oddballs at the Spa who don't want to sell. And now we are kind of come and who does he see the moment he walks into the gym, looking just as adorable as possible in this cute little purple leotard, is the receptionist, Sally Field's character. And instantly Jeff Bridges is kind of in this he's kind of an oddball. He's the oddball now, this kind of fish out of water in this homey, hokey, fun, oddball gym. And I think a lot of your enjoyment of the movie depends on how much you like this oddball, funny gym spa setting.
Well,
I do.
What really works for me is that the cast of characters are all, from personally, really fun actors to watch. Sally Field aside.
Understatement of the year.
Favorite.
Sally Field is not your favorite?
Lady. Not my favorite leading lady. Just I'll leave it at that. But anyway,
okay.
We meet
America Robert. Disagrees, but okay. Yes, let's
not
get
without
into
my
this
daughter,
cast.
Duncan.
Let's get into this cast, because it is one of the all-time great casts.
A delightful, chummy Robert Englund, who is just eager to please, and just kind of a delight to see him bop around the room.
What's this contest?
Mr. Universe next month. Thor's been saving Joe up for it. He don't want the wrong people seeing him, or wouldn't nobody enter.
Are you his trainer?
I'm his grease man. Oil him up before exhibition.
Robert Englund plays the Arnold Schwarzenegger character's grease man. So his job is to grease him up before competitions. But yeah, you can't grease yourself.
I do. I do remember that. I didn't realize that that was like a thing, but yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Roger E. Mosley is one of the next people we meet. And then, we see a man in basically a superhero costume lifting weights, and the costume obscured the muscles enough that I didn't know who that was until
big
moment of reveal. So that was cool.
The idea behind that was Rafelson didn't want to reveal the muscles until the end. I do feel like it's a little confusing. It's not the greatest introduction of that character.
The end of the scene.
Really the end of the movie, that last sequence. That's when you really see Arnold without his shirt on.
I mean, I will say that he, you know, he looks big, but he doesn't hit like the Arnold that you know he is from Pumping Iron. It's pretty effective that is pretty well disguised throughout. It's hard to watch it with that brain now, because you just know who Arnold is. So, but I bet you they could have, that might have worked at the time. I also jotted down this note that this seems like Duncan's dream gym. I feel like this is your dream of what that Hyperion gym was like.
Bodybuilders?
There's something about, yeah. There's something about you and just loving the camaraderie of a quirky gym.
That's so funny. I do love a dumpy gym. I belong to Dream. I think it's called Dream Center. That's like in out here in LA,
okay.
In Westlake. I don't even know what this place is. It's incredibly dumpy. Yeah. I mean, I love seeing all the old Nautilus machines. There's this bizarre like spa they show. There's the karate room downstairs. I mean, you could see if this movie did not perform particularly well, or well in any regard at the box office. But you can see if this movie had been a hit, I can see them making a sitcom about the gym in the same way that Alice Doesn't Live Here's restaurant became, Alice's restaurant. I mean,
it is
a fully realized world. And let's not forget, we've got Peckinpah favorite, R.G. Armstrong, also a Birmingham native, as Thor, who owns the gym.
Defined by his insane toupee.
They get a lot of comedy out of that toupee. And so we should say that, the Jeff Bridges character, Craig, ends up infiltrating the gym, joining the gym. He's a fish out of water. He has eyes for Sally Field. She has eyes for him. But she also has some involvement with Schwarzenegger's Joe Santos character. And if the movie has a flaw, and it does, a few, it's that this love triangle, which is such a big part of the movie.
Is it real? Is it not?
Not particularly well defined.
You don't say.
And there's a part of me that applauds that, because you can see the cheesy romantic comedy version of this movie. Silver spoon in his mouth, Southern boy falling in with the oddballs from the other side of the tracks, and he meets the woman who's looked her, you know, his aristocratic friends look down their noses at her, and he's also got a fight for her with the oddball guy who is both his friend and also new mentor, and they're fighting to save the gym. So that is kind of the plot of the movie, although it's kind of not the plot of the movie because the digressions are so fast and furious.
Don't hem in Rafelson. Please don't, Duncan.
So there are,
you will not
there are,
stay in those lines.
There are moments where I wanted to adhere more to that, and there are moments where I couldn't have been more excited that it had gone off the rails. I have not read the novel, so I don't know how traditional or untraditional it is. It, from the synopses I've read, it sounds a little more traditional, but also different in many different ways. So there is an improvisational, fun, off the rails feel to this movie that I really was enamored with.
Yeah, you first get a real dose of it. There's a bar scene that comes right after the first gym scene where, a lot of things happen. It struck me as odd that Robert Englund proceeds to tell Craig both Arnold's backstory and Sally Field's backstory back to back. And
he's the gym gossip guy. He's the little fly in your ear. He's filling them in, getting them up to speed.
Just get it out of the way. We're all set up. But he also does an amazing trick shot on camera at the pool table that no funny business was being used to make that happen. That was definitely Robert Englund sinking this wild shot of pool. We also kind of, I think this is the first scene where we meet the karate instructor played by Helena Kalaniotis.
How much time do we have to talk about Helena?
She is wonderful. I could watch a whole movie about her. And I realized I had to look her up to realize how I know her from the cover of Art Garfunkel's Breakaway, which is the solo album after Simon and Garfunkel split up.
Oh, you don't have to tell me about Breakaway, where it's her, Garfunkel, and Lori Bird posing at Dan Tana's.
Yep.
I've tried to recreate that album cover.
What?
Yes. She's
fantastic.
She is great. I love her in Five Easy Pieces. She's in Head. She was a belly dancer at a Greek place in NoHo when she was discovered. She has such an amazing Hollywood lore and Hollywood story. She was Nicholson's platonic roommate for years until really? Angelica Houston was like, hold it, who is this woman living here? And then she ended up moving next door to, like, because Nicholson has a compound where he owns a couple houses on Mulholland. And she lived door on the Nicholson compound, I think, till 2000.
They're very similar looking.
They do have similar vibes. Then they became very thick as thieves.
Okay.
And I should also say she got a Golden Globes Best Supporting Actress nomination for a movie I haven't seen, that the roller derby movie with Raquel Welch, which is now very high on my list.
Yeah. Kansas City Bombers, I think is what it's called. Something like that.
And so then she had a roller skate night in L.A. for years. Skate Away, which I think came before Breakaway, or maybe it was a play on it. And then what I didn't know is that in the 80s, she had a members-only nightclub not far from me in the Rampart part of L.A. That was red hot. Nicholson, big investor there all the time. Nicholson, Sean Penn, Madonna, the Brat Pack, Justine Bateman, such a hot spot. Everyone's amazing. Getting laid. Everyone's doing coke. There aren't a ton of pictures of it online.
Yeah.
But this was the place. This was the Elaine's of New York.
This is your dream of Hollywood, basically.
This is my dream of Hollywood. And I didn't know I lived so close to it.
Right down. Have you gone and figured out which building it might have been?
I have not, but I certainly know that block, and I heard it was across from a Salvadorian church. So I'll take a peek and report back. Yeah. There's going to be some fun facts on the Instagram feed, everybody.
Okay. Well, the next appearance of one of our favorite actors is Ed Begley. Shows up in the club scene. We jump right to the social elite of Birmingham, and we see a bit of a country club scene where we meet, and I've forgotten the name of the character, the redheaded woman who hosts the party later in the movie. And
I believe that's Amy, played by Fanny Flagg, the author of your favorite book, Fried Green Tomatoes.
Is that right?
I believe so, yes. The woman who later ends up with Arnold, Joe Santos.
No, that's Joanna Cassidy, who I'm obsessed with. She's in Blade Runner, and she's in a lot of things, but she's so striking looking. Are you talking about when they get off the airplane later in this random, like, cut shot?
Oh, who is Fanny? Who does Fanny Flagg play?
Well, there's the redhead who shows up in the club scene, and she says the line that I loved so much. She goes, Craig, be a muffin and fetch me that yada yada.
Craig, be a muffin and find something for me, will you, honey?
You got the right man, Amy. He knows every weirdo in town.
Be a muffin. I love it. But she hosts the party later. Remember when Sally Field basically says this, you people are awful or
yes,
whatever. And she's like, Craig, she's embarrassing me. Please
yes,
get her
that's
out of
who,
here.
That's who Fanny Flagg
okay.
is. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
You were confused. So here we are in, I mean, we're kind of getting into the middle part of the movie where there is a mixing of worlds.
Yes.
Jeff Bridges is falling for Sally Field. They end up back at his place, his big, huge mansion that was left to him by his parents.
He's, well, that is after the amazing water skiing sequence.
Amazing the, water skiing. I literally yelled at my TV, why isn't there water skiing in movies anymore?
It was so good. I wonder if it was just something that Sally Field could do from Gidget and Ravelson was just like, yep, we're doing it. And like,
oh, that's interesting.
Or if it was a like, I could also see it just being like a river activity in Birmingham.
From listening to the DVD commentary, it sounded like it was an activity they were all doing.
Okay.
And then they were doing all their own jumps, all their own stunts. It's a very, very DIY movie. I should say in the bar scene, there's a lot of the, a lot of those are that's casting from Birmingham. That's the chunkiest of the heavies that get into a bar fight with Bridges. Rafelson's pool man, who later became an actor. I guess there was a TV show that he starred in, but this was his first big role.
The one where they're sort of he lies about playing for Auburn Okay. This is where it starts to get really muddy for me. I don't know.
You're having too much fun.
I don't know what to focus on. Like, why is he invest? He's sort of. Arnold is like in the gym lifting weights together before the double date. I don't know why he's so invested in hanging out with them as when really he's there supposedly to get Thor to sell him the place. So I just don't know what's going on. That's what I will say.
This is not a movie that lays out the breadcrumbs A to B to C.
Yeah, I need a Lithgow to be dead set on revenge, and I need it very clear, Duncan.
So it is a little unclear when the Bridges Craig Blake character, our millionaire, goes from investigating the gym to try and butter up Thor, the owner, to sell it, to just really enjoying the gym and enjoying both Arnold's character's friendship and mentorship in bodybuilding and enjoying palling around and his sexcapades with Sally Fields. I believe her character's name is Mary. So, you know, it's not a clear delineation. Fairly soon you have the country club scene. You see us back at the country club and Jeff Bridges is with his good old boys, his Ed Begley Jr. and the rest of the prep school crowd. Yeah. And he's tired of these country club sandwiches. He's hankering for some red flannel hash.
Yeah,
and so there we get a little bit of the arc that, okay, Jeff's got a taste for the real life. I mean, he's not going to be playing, he's not going to be satisfied with tennis and golf for much longer.
I will say that the what you mentioned before that he and Sally Field hook up, that romantic scene / love scene on the stairs was really well done. I felt like that connection between it was just all well choreographed. It was like a milder version of A History of Violence, that
yes,
intense sex scene on the stairs.
Agreed. It's a really lovely but also sexy sex scene. Huge in Europe, Rafelson says. They love that scene. They love the foot touching.
That's very big. I thought it was great.
And I've got to say, I give Sally Field sexiest back awards. Her back gets a lot of play in this movie. She's so tan. She's got a beautiful back. I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for saying that, but she's got a beautiful back.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's just the way it is.
We also get to meet Craig's butler, played by one Scatman Crothers.
Scatman Crothers, who was in King of Marvin Gardens. That's where Nicholson and the Scatman became BFFs, and that's why he was in so many Nicholson movies. He plays an older character here. He doesn't have the best wig.
I was going to say, I never knew him to have hair, and that's a wig, you think?
Or is I've confirmed that is a bad wig.
Okay.
Or I'm saying it's a bad wig.
Okay.
Your grandmama, she'd come out of that picture on the wall and dive a butcher knife through your heart, and I would help her.
And I will say also, after, if this movie was a hit, after they spun it off into the gym comedy, into that sitcom, then they'd have another sitcom. Maybe they could get Bo Bridges to play Jeff Bridges, and maybe Scatman would play himself, and they'd have the sitcom about this Southern orphan living with his butler.
So I will say that was the other thing that really charmed me, that I feel like I can't think of when I've seen that dynamic before, which is just the nearly 30 or 30-year-old rich kid who is aimless in the South. Like, that character I really liked. The story he's in, but the character I really liked a lot.
Okay. Well, I would say now is a good time to bring up another thing I liked about this film is, as we have the intermingling of these two worlds in the New South, the kind of lower class gym oddballs mingling with the upper crust Southern aristocrats and country club crowd. One thing I love about this movie is there aren't any cheap shots. In the same way, Joe Spinelli kind of is oddly cast as the Southern, this kind of Southern bad boy. I have a lot of sympathy for, and I really like a lot of the Southern aristocrat country club characters. Like, Ed Begley is, toehead charming, and particularly charming is this character. I think this was Dorothy character, Kathleen Miller. She's in Five Easy Pieces. I think that's the character. Jeff Bridges brings her along for a wild night out.
Oh, yeah.
And for the water skiing.
She's great.
And there kind of is a little couple swap where Jeff Bridges goes home with Sally Field. We can't tell how hurt Arnold is or not. And Arnold ends up hooking up with her character. And yes, she is a bit of a Southern belle, but she's also up for fun, and everybody's just kind of chill.
And also, that's where they introduce the idea that Arnold is a fiddle player and has fallen in with these backwoods bluegrass players and attends these kind of bluegrass hoedowns, which is interesting. I haven't seen it before. An Austrian bodybuilder who is buddies and plays like regularly with old timey Southern bluegrass men. It's just an odd choice, but hey, it's part of the atmosphere of this movie.
So not only are these gym and spa oddballs more authentic, but they're almost more Southern than the real Southerners, is how I interpreted scene. Well, Because Arnold's Joe Santos character is going out in the woods doing these hoedowns. They're doing dances.
Then the club.
Then the kind of at a distance country club.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, got it.
I don't think that was too much of a stretch. I was like, did you not miss that part? But I mean, dress Arnold up in a satin shirt and have him play the fiddle, and there's a hoedown, and then Jeff Bridges
does this amazing dance.
Is that a square dance? What is that?
It's just kind of a hoedown dance. He does that viral video of that guy doing the clogging. It's kind of like that, you don't know that on the high stage. It's clogging basically. Okay. I was like, man, Jeff Bridges has done it all. Like, when you see this scene and you see him dancing alone in the middle of this circle and he is just dancing his heart out, I'm like, what hasn't this guy done?
It's really amazing. And I'll say again that in the DVD commentary, Rafelson is so just all over Jeff Bridges' physicality in this movie, pointing out all the little bits of physical comedy. Him when he's drunk coming down the country club steps, he does this little drunken dance down the steps that's amazing. I mean, he really is agility so much fun in the finale.
We're going to talk a lot about
Jeff Bridges' body and his agility. Don't worry about that. Meanwhile, I should say for this DVD commentary, which is Rafelson, Bridges, and Sally Field.
Really?
It's a lot of Rafelson kind of talking about Bridges' agility, and then Sally Field will show her tush, and then it gets a little quiet. Now, according to Rafelson in the commentary, one reason Sally Field got the part was she came in. Charles Gaines, the author of the book, was there, and he was acting out some of the romantic scenes playing the Jeff Bridges character. And there's a moment where the actresses
acting out with Sally Field?
Yes, with everyone.
Let me take it from here,
Jeff. The auditions, basically the auditions. So every woman would kind of get on top of him and stuff. But Sally really got on top of him. There's almost like there was a little... It was a weird story to tell in the DVD. He was like, "Well, you got the job because you got on top of Charles and wrote him a little bit, and they're laughing about it." But then I read and this is just on the Wikipedia page that Rafelson offered her the job, but she had to kiss him first.
Ugh.
Is a story she told. I should also say the production designer is Toby Rafelson, his wife, who left him after or during this movie when she heard he was flirting too much with Sally. And she does a fantastic job here, and I think is a lot more than the production designer on a lot of his movies, as was the case in misogynistic 70s where – a lot of times
where directors
leaned a little too heavily on the wives that were often much more their creative partners.
Is she responsible for the suit of armor that Scatman Crothers insisted that he was going to take with him when he quit?
I would imagine so. The only problem I have with that scene is I was so disappointed that Scatman Crothers didn't pick up the suit of armor and try and drag it out of the house with him, because I was waiting
really
for this
whole
prolonged moment of comedy. Yeah.
That was an odd moment. They really give him his big moment, and it doesn't feel like the movie has earned it. It also is when the uncle narration chimes in again, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, what? Why was that happening?" And then we get the big party that we mentioned, the country club party, where we see Ed Begley Jr. and it's sort of the clash of the two cultures. But that's when the uncle shows up, and without much fanfare, the guy who is narrating the movie just shows up in the movie, and it took a second to figure out.
Yeah, it seems like he's reading the letters, doing the voiceover narration sober, but when he's acting in the movie, he's drunk. And I like the character is very interesting. So in this culture clash party scene, you have Jeff Bridges bringing his it's very ill-defined, but we think his girlfriend, Sally Field, wearing a very sexy pink dress that might be a little too spicy for the country club. And he's also bringing along Joe, the Arnold Schwarzenegger character, who's going to play the fiddle there. And he's introducing them around the country club. Ostensibly, it seems like to get them in with the old money crowd who might be able to intervene and help them save the gym, as opposed to get the gym bought up by the shady characters that he's in bed with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, it's
tough
all
because
very
he's saying that he doesn't want to pursue selling to his buddy. That's like, "You got to do this. Like, what are you doing?" And he's basically hanging it on the fact that he's falling for Sally Field. But what does that have to do with buying the gym from Thor?
Well, he's not going to destroy the gym that Sally Field's buddies work at.
I guess.
I think part of it is whatever this crazy dislike of Sally Field is. This is bizarre. This is weirder than my dad not liking Tom Hanks. Hating Tom Hanks, actually.
He hates Tom Hanks?
Hates Tom Hanks.
What? Does he have an explanation?
Just not one
I don't like the look of that guy's face.
Not one I'm going to repeat on this podcast.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it
there. You have this party. Jeff Bridges at the party. His character is being a real jerk. He's yucking it up with his Southern boys, and yep. he's not treating his oddball new buddies very well. The Schwarzenegger character is kind of treated as a freak. The whole right. party and whatever was going to happen is whatever he was trying to get accomplished backfires, and Sally ends up leaving him that night. You know a party is going bad when you look outside and you see Ed Begley Jr. with his sweaty paws all over your date.
He was great. Fantastic. That was his moment, and he's just fantastic in it.
The biggest mystery of this movie is how Harry Dean Stanton isn't in it, because it's like all his buddies are there years ago. Not to name drop, oh, but right. I did go to the Harry Dean Stanton Vidiot's tribute award show birthday bash or something, and uh-huh. it was Ed Begley Jr. was the MC. Helena got up and made this amazing speech.
Really?
Griffin Dunn was there. Christofferson. I haven't told you about this. I have a poster in my house. This was one of the best nights. I'm just in the audience.
Oh, my God.
But this is one of the best events I've ever been to.
Those are heavy hitters.
And they're all just telling these stories about Harry Dean Stanton. Like, oh, the time, Harry, remember when I woke up in bed next to you?
Was this down at that bar on Olympic where he used to play all the time?
No, this was at the Ace Hotel. This was like a big event.
Okay.
But it felt oddly very, very intimate. And you were like, oh my God, why was I not palling around with Harry Dean Stanton in the 70s and 80s?
Yeah,
they just seemed like they had so much fun.
Right.
And it was very much a lot of the crowd from this film. So I kept hoping he was going to pop up.
Yeah.
Obviously, he did not.
The first one I'm going to bring up here is a woman I saw in Five Easy Pieces some years ago. And I got inspired to do a lot of the environmental work that I did because of her and Tony Basil with this scene in Five Easy Pieces where they're talking about going up to Alaska because the environment is so screwed. So welcome, please, my dear friend. You've seen her in a million movies. I saw her do belly dancing back in the day, and she captivated me and everybody, and she's more fit than me, as she always has been. Welcome up to the stage, Helena Kalyniotis.
Yeah, I really loved the party scene, especially because it just felt like, yeah, the character conflict, for what it is, culminated in this scene. It was a great setting. It was a fresh setting for the movie. We had seen the country club, but we hadn't seen the socialite party. And it was just the perfect way to, you know, isolate Arnold and bodybuilding as freakish, which of course it was considered back then. Somebody says, it's actually earlier, but it's the actor that you were talking about when she says, I thought all bodybuilders were, and he fills in the blank, homosexual.
Excuse me for being so direct. I've always heard that, people of your profession were,
homosexual?
Oh.
I can only speak for myself. But if you want me to prove it...
I made the same note. I did not know that was... Or I never thought of that as a stereotype of bodybuilding. I have a note, thighs heating up. Okay, I think this means things heating up in the movie. Now, I would say post...
With the hookers?
Post this party scene, things get really off the wall.
Yeah.
Our Southern aristocratic country club investor guys end up going to Thor, who owns the gym, and trying to get in his good graces by showing up with a couple sex workers that they have paid to romance him for the evening.
I did say hooker.
Well, we can use the parlance of the time.
Movie. Yes.
Yeah, I'm fine. That wasn't a shot. So, yeah. So it was. So you end up with the R.G. Armstrong and Roger Mosley. You know, TC and Magnum PI, and they're entertaining these two prostitutes, and it's an odd scene. It's an odd scene. I was leaning in during the DVT commentary to see what they were going to say about this scene. Jeff Bridges was tickled pink by R.G. Armstrong and all his facial expressions. And then it just kind of goes dead silent. And then you're just watching scene after scene, these quick clips
for a while.
That are comedic of R.G. Armstrong, who's a big man, like being with one of these sex workers in different positions on different pieces of antiquated Nautilus equipment, and it's dead silent on the commentary. Sally Field's not saying anything. And just at one point, Ravelson's like, RG was a big man. That's all he says.
And well, of course, this was the moment when my wife walked through the room and said,
is this a Duncan pick?
What are you watching? I don't know. Some Jeff Bridges and Sally Field movie.
Right. Yes. I don't think Sally and Jeff were on set that day for sure. And then you're cutting in with the Roger Mosley character. He's supposed to be making love to the other sex worker so loud that his boss, Thor, hears.
That's a direct request.
A direct request. And instead, to get around that, he ends up giving her like a massage. I guess that's his job at the spa. But he also ends up taping her mouth shut so she doesn't call out that they're not having sex. I'm not sure. It's all a little – feels a little dated. I don't think it's par for the course. I don't think it's par for the course. Okay. I think it's a little more outrageous and off the rails than the rest of the movie.
So then I think we can safely get into the bodybuilding event. So it's all been building. I don't think we mentioned that. It's all been building to RG Armstrong is throwing a bodybuilding event where there is prize money and it's collected from all the competitors that are going to be part of the competition. And that day finally comes, and we meet some new characters. We meet two brothers, one of which is a bodybuilder who speaks gibberish. He sounds like Adam Sandler, like one of Adam Sandler's earlier characters. That's an interesting choice. But the brother is really focused on RG Armstrong's Thor character, thinking that somehow that guy is going to steal the money. He's just dead set on that intention right off the bat. And we track that for a good 15 minutes through the rest of the movie. It keeps coming up.
Right. And we cut between this really interesting, I think, bodybuilder competition. I think it's a lot of fun to see what one of these competitions is. I certainly didn't know what one looked up. As we see Arnold and another bodybuilder kind of like elevated from the stage above to the whooping, hollering Southern crowd, and they do their poses. I love that.
Have you seen Pumping Iron?
I haven't seen Pumping Iron.
Oh, you need to. It's good. Okay. It really is good.
You just want to shame me in the middle of the podcast?
No. I'm just saying if you like that, you'll like the documentary.
I don't know if okay, maybe I will. I've seen clips of Arnold Schwarzenegger working out Bud Cort.
I've never seen so many huge people in my life. That's why I joined the gym. I want to get my blood moving, you know?
Yeah.
All I do is drive and scream at my agent, you know? So I figured I'd, you know, get my blood moving.
Is that in Pumping Iron or is that just some video?
That part I don't remember. But, you know, really like the fun of that movie is seeing the competition between Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno and how he messes with Lou's head the way he messed with Stallone's head.
It's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. So can you believe how much I am in heaven?
Lex, funny that you use the word fun, because at this point in the movie, things get a lot less fun. We cut between the bodybuilding competition. You're right. Good point. We cut between the fun bodybuilding competition and the Thor character who I believe the prostitutes have left the gym. Sally Field wanders into the gym and he attacks her after doing a
popper. Thought we were so in the clear. I literally wrote down a note during the party scene where I was like, these frat boy buddies of Jeff Bridges are so rapey, but thankfully we haven't had any rape. And then here we go. We have we're not sure what actually happens. That's not defined, but there is an assault.
there is an assault. And I, again, interested to see if there was going to be any color commentary in the commentary. Everyone was a little silent for this part of the movie.
Sounds like most of this commentary is silent.
They did say, these are real poppers. These are real, what do you call them?
That he snorted?
Amyl nitrates? Is that what they are?
Is that what a popper is? Some kind of speed?
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
So those are real.
He cracks them open and he snorts them.
He snorts them. He grabs Sally Field. There's been one line of dialogue where he has said something to the effect of, you know, he likes Mary Tate, a very thrown off little line of dialogue.
No.
What does he say?
He has a hole in the floor of his office where he spies on Sally Field when she changes.
What are you talking about? Oh my God.
There's a one line where he likes her. He's obsessed with her.
Okay, cut that part out of the podcast, please. All right. So I guess, all right, that makes
sense. And then he pretends he's doing push-ups. He's like, get out of here. I'm doing push-ups.
That made Jeff Bridges laugh really hard. Every time he would laugh, he'd be like, RG, what a character. Look at those black eyes of his.
I mean, honestly.
I'll just do all of Jeff Bridges' commentary.
He is, he's a sight to behold, that guy. I definitely remembered him from the Peckinpah movies. I can't remember who his characters are. I think it's Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid that he has kind of the biggest role that I can recall.
I'm the same. I know he's a Peckinpah guy. I'm forgetting who exactly he plays. He's got the big build. He is a coal miner.
At the beginning, like LQ Jones, RG Armstrong. and then we get, you know, if that toupee weren't enough, the payoff, his arc as a character is he tears it off to prove that he's I don't even know what he's saying, but he does reveal to her that he's not what he seems.
And he's trying to get Mary Tate to also do a popper. And that's a real popper.
Oh,
he's trying
right.
to stick up her nose. So my issue with this sequence was that for me, as I've already expressed, the gym, the spa, is this kind of a haven of fun and oddball nonconformity that Charles is enamored with and I as a viewer am enamored with. And the Thor character has been kind of a difficult but enjoyable character.
And now
they're kind of a family. They're an oddball family. And Rafelson even says this movie, that's what this movie's about, is finding a family that's not your family. So the fact that there's this betrayal and this assault really, I think, is at odds with what this movie is about. And I think is one reason that this movie may have failed to find the audience that in some ways it deserves. So
I agree.
There is this very disturbing, fairly disturbing sequence. They kind of soft pedal it. That's why I say not very disturbing. The assault is serious, but they cut away. They leave things a bit ambiguous. And then when we cut away, we're back at the bodybuilder competition. And then everyone finds out that there's something going on at the gym, and we get this amazing sequence of the bodybuilders.
Yes.
20, 30 bodybuilders
this
with all the fans after running
Truly
down the
amazing.
Streets of Birmingham. Arnold running down
Suddenly,
the streets,
the streets of Birmingham
in a precursor
full.
Of like to all his action movie roles. The streets are full of bodybuilders. They start doing poses. Bluegrass Fiddlin is playing. This is this movie at its quirky,
like,
fun, oddball best.
It's like the scene in Ferris Bueller when everybody with the parade, when everybody is dancing and breaks into song. It's almost like a musical number. At one point, a city bus goes by and there's five bodybuilders on top of the bus posing. I mean, the transition happens when basically the bodybuilders in banana hammocks are running down the street and they get stopped by citizens of Birmingham. Like, hey, what's with you guys? Like, look at you guys. And one looks to the other and is like, well, they like us. Should we go ahead and do our thing? And they just start posing. It's pretty damn amazing.
It is phenomenal. Almost as phenomenal as the fight scene that we cut to in the gym.
Agreed.
Where Jeff Bridges comes. He's able to get Sally Field out of the gym, and he
Tom
and
Holland
Thor,
get out of the way. I've never seen a man jump so high off the walls when
These are real weights. These are real weights being used.
Real weights at Jeff Bridges. It's
except for the one that beans him in the butt. These are real weights. Jeff Bridges is jumping all over the gym. Mirrors are smashed. Glasses everywhere. I mean, this is an amazing sequence.
Yeah, he literally jumps. He looks like a cat. He uses one side of the, in a stairwell. He presses his hand. He's Spider-Man's. He like grabs one side of the wall and pops his two legs up on the other side to miss a weight that's thrown at him. It's like it's real. And Jeff Bridges has one point where his shirt's off. Like he's in Arnold League. He definitely like took to the whole notion of the movie of pumping iron.
I mean, in another sequence, he jumps over the staircase. The genius of his physicality in this movie cannot be overstated. He's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love this sequence. It winds down as the bodybuilders and all the gym guys from the competition burst in on this fight. Sally Field is put in a police car. We hear a little bit of something with the police that this was an attempted rape. And this movie that I'm so fond of starts to come to a very inauspicious ending.
Yeah, there's a little bit of sort of a denouement. Like, we just cut away to, you know, a couple months later where Sally Field and Jeff Bridges are together. Scatman Crothers is going to set up a thrift store with all the stuff that Jeff Bridges' grandmother willed to him. And now we no longer have the uncle's narration. We now have Craig's narration as he tells us, he wraps up the movie for us.
The old and the new South combined. He'll be starting a gym with Arnold's Joe character, and Thor, no charges were filed. So I guess he's free to roam the world and attack and do poppers at will.
No, right. I didn't catch that. No charges.
I believe that's what the Joe Spinelli character says. He's like, no charges were filed, and you did all this stuff, and you still don't get the gym. So not the strongest of endings, but for me, obviously I've seen this movie before, and I had just as good a time with it, maybe even better the second time. It is a fun, eccentric, wacky feast and a picture of the new South at a different time, a changing of the guard, if you will. It's a movie about
quirky
little character behaviors. And I enjoyed it quite a bit.
There are some fun scenes that stand alone. I was glad to see, the club scene. I loved the dancing in the streets scene. There were some fun elements of this movie. I will say that.
Okay. Well, I guess no more foreplay. Let's just get into it.
All right. What blew my mind is how these actors ended up in this movie. Duncan, this is a bad movie.
Wow. I am shocked.
This is a bad movie. It does not come together. The Rafelson just wants it all, and he just goes for every single thread that he can go for, but it does not hold together. You don't know what to pay attention to. You don't know what it's about. So when I said that it reminded me of Head, it just felt like a romp. It felt like a Monkees movie, but it was.
I don't know. I enjoy a romp. I could go for a romp right now.
It
feels like a smaller scale. It's Rafelson's Nashville. It's like, here we are. Whoa. We're in this world. We're going to follow some
characters. You're comparing
it
to Nashville?
I'm saying a smaller, it's Altman-esque. It's Nashvillian in a way on a smaller scale for a smaller city. And we're gonna check out Birmingham and follow some of these fun loving characters. We're gonna have a good time with this amazing cast. We're not gonna stick the landing.
No.
But we're gonna enter you into a couple worlds, and we're gonna show you some things you've never seen before. That's what this movie is to me.
And that's what it does. I will agree with that. But otherwise, it is a mishmash of tone, of muddied character intentions, muddied directorial intention. Whatever the purpose of the movie is, it is unclear other than to try to recreate a world that was committed to a novel, it seems like. But the execution of a full thing is not well done. Again, the parts of it are interesting. I am glad I saw it. I will say that.
Oh, okay. So are we getting into the backpedaling part of the show? Where you're like,
I'm not backpedaling. It is still a bad, like, on principle, is a bad movie. Oh, it's not a well-done movie.
You're not answering my question. We've watched plenty of bad movies. Did it blow your mind?
No, I was...
Okay, that's fine.
If I were to recommend... I wouldn't recommend this movie. I would say what's fun about it.
But that's not what this podcast is. This podcast isn't would you recommend it. It's not if it's good. It's not if it's bad. It's not if you're watching with your mom. It's did it blow your mind or not? That's the franchise of the show. I'm not holding your feet to the fire. That's fine. I just want it for the kids keeping score at home. I just want to be able to know where we are with this because you're.
No, it let me down more than it blew my mind. But there are things about it that I've never seen before. And I guess on principle, that theoretically blows my mind.
Okay. We might.
But I don't think that the movie did not blow my mind.
Okay. I don't know what to make of this. This is, I feel like I'm having a conversation, a breakup conversation with somebody. We're seeing each other, but we're not seeing each other. This is,
it's about as clear as this movie is.
Okay. All right. I think we'll kind of put a pin in this and get back to it.
You're saying that my review is not final, that I'll come round on it.
I'm saying I don't know what it is. I don't know. Okay, so I'll say it for you. This movie didn't blow your mind. Marking this in the – okay. Fair enough.
It didn't.
Fair enough. Ricochet did, but this movie didn't. Okay. Moving on. Well, this has been fun. It's funny because when I was watching this movie, I was chuckling over what I thought were all the parts you were going to love. I was like, Lex is going to be loving this. Southerner Lex is going to be loving
this. That was my favorite part of this movie is what – I knew that you loved about this movie and the fact, and honestly, what I love about this movie is how charmed you are by the gym. I took one look at that gym and I was like, I never want to set foot in this place.
The downstairs little purple karate room. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I found it depressing and I didn't understand what the fight was about. Like why they care so much. They just want to turn it into a massage parlor. The businessmen guys.
It's not a massage parlor. It's a place where people go to work out and get sports massages, but they wanna... and also see prostitutes. It's not some sleazy massage parlor.
Oh man.
All right. Well, I guess me and the French appreciate this one and that's okay.
That's okay.
That's what the show's about.
Well, next time we'll be back with a winner.
Say what?